Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. I hope everyone had a meaningful and uplifting, impactful, and inspiring Yom Tov season. And it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, so we are moving ahead and we're moving back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning, Baruch Hashem. I remember when we had our last class and I thought, oh my gosh, we're not meeting for such a long time. And here we are once again, so Baruch Hashem. So we are learning as always, the Zecher Nishmaso and the Yilui Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yom V'chana, Lava Shem, May the Neshama merit a continued Zchus Aliyah, the merit of the Divrei Torah and Chizuk that we will share. Also, Zchus Aliyah Neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya, Lava Shem, May the Neshama have an Aliyah. Also to Refuah Shleimas. Right? I've been asked to dedicate this class as a Refuah Shleimah for Eliyahu Ben Margalit, and also as a refuah shleima for Chaya Rachel Bas Nechama Gittel. They both have Zechuyos the Tova, Besoros Tovos, and Refuos Bekarov, and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share today, Eliyahu ben Margalit and Chaya Rachel Bas Nechama Gittel, Besoch Sha'ar Chodei Yisrael. Let us go to our Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. Ribono Sha'olam, Mihi Ratzon Lefanecha, Al Rachum V'Chanan, Shetizakeni Hayom V'Chol Yom. Lishmar piu lishani milashin hara rechilas, ve'ezarim ledaber afila alish yachid, ve'kol shkena klayusa, o achelek mehem, ve'kol shkena milisraim almidosef shal kolish baruchu, ve'ezarim ledaber v'divrei sheker chanufa mechokes ka'as gaiva o na'as dvarim, habanis panim leitzanus v'chol dibur asur, ve'zakeni shilo ledaber kim dabar hatzarich l'inane gufi v'nafshi, yukol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim, amen v'amen. So I am going to begin with an insight that just occurred to me this Shabbos, and it's really first and foremost a reminder and a lesson why you always must relearn your learning. Even though I see it's a little dark, I'm going to open up another light. One second. Maybe that's better, I didn't realize. So even if you already learned and you think you know this already and you think you learned this already, you always, it's something I say all the time and I really mean it. And this is just an example of why even if you heard a Dvar Torah, you heard an insight, you heard a halacha, you read this pasuk, you saw this Rashi, you can never say, I learned it already, why am I hearing it again, learning it again, why is she telling it again, why am I reviewing it? It does not work like that with Chumash, with Torah at all. With Torah, it's a scroll, not a book. A book is a beginning and an end, and they're finished. A scroll meets each other in the middle, which means that you're always scrolling through. You always have to be relearning. And of course, I'm going to be sharing an insight that's totally related to Shmiras HaLashon, or I not just want to stand say an insight, which I could also do and also want to do, but this is just gewaldic. And I cannot tell you how excited I was. I'm going to begin actually by screen sharing. Oh no, before I screen share, I want to tell you something. How should I do it? I'm going to make a shahakal first. How's that? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shahakal nehiya bedvaro. No, I'm going to screen share first. This is amazing. Okay? Just mamash amazing. So you should be very excited. Wait, I have to ask if you could see that I'm in Bereishis Perek Beis. Yeah? Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so Bereishis, we just read today's Monday morning, Yom Sheini. Okay, so we just read or learned or leaned Kriya Sotara was Bereishis this past Shabbos. So this was read this past Shabbos. Ve'echula Shemayim Baratz V'chol Tzva. I'm reminding the beginning of Perek Beis. Okay? So the earth, the heavens and the earth and all its hosts were finished. Ve'echal Elokim Be'yam Mishkim Le'achto Asha'asa. And Elokim finished on the seventh day from the work that he did, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he did, and Elohim blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because on this day he rested, he ceased from all his work that he created in order to do. Right? That's very familiar to us, because of course that is what we recite, the Pesukim we recite for Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. Okay. Eila told us Hashemayim ba'aretz, v'ha'aretz b'hi baram, b'yam asos Hashem Elohim, eretz v'shemayim. These are the toldos, the offspring, the birthing of the heavens and the earth, when he created them, on the day that Hashem Elohim made the aretz and shemayim, the earth and the heaven. Parak Beis Pasukei. V'chol siach asada termia ba'aretz, and all herbage of the field was not yet on the earth. V'chol esav asada termia tzmach, and all the grasses of the field did not yet sprout. Ki lohim ter Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz, because Hashem Elokim had not sent rain upon the earth. V'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama, there was no man to work the earth. Here Rashi says that Adam prayed for rain. Okay, so pay close attention. Parak Beis Pasukei, there was no man yet to work the earth. And in this pasuk, Rashi tells us Adam prayed for rain. When the pasuk says there is no man yet to work the earth, you have to remember that in Perek Aleph, pasuk Chav Zayin, Adam was created. Back in Perek Aleph, pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayivra Elokim es Adam. No. Yes, Vayivra Elokim es Adam Betzalma, Betzalma Elokim Bara also, Zachar Nekeva Bara Osam. So that's Perek Aleph, pasuk Chav Zayin, which you don't see on my screen right now. I'm not flipping back. But then man was created, Rashi says, with like two sides. Was some sort of before time, we don't understand creation. It was one being with two sides, and then that's in Perek Al Pasuk of Zion. In Perek Beis Pasuk Zion, which you see right here, Hashem refashioned that first creation. That first creation did not last. It was one being. One side was man, Zachar, one side was Nekeva. We don't understand exactly what this is, obviously, because we don't have creations like that. And then in Perek Beis, Hashem refashioned Adam. And at the end of Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis, he built woman. And at the end of Perek Beis, therefore, you have two separate beings, man and woman. So at this point, when the Pasuk says in Pasuk Hei, Adam ayin avod et ha'adama, there was no man to work the earth. You may think, what happened to the creation in 127? The creation in 127 did not last. So at this point, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei, there's no man to work the earth. Now Hashem is getting ready to create Adam. Ve'ed ya'ala min ha'aretz, or I should say refashion Adam. The aid ya'ala min ha'aretz, a mist would ascend from the earth. V'hishka is called panei adama. There was a mist, you know, sometimes in the morning it's misty, it's not really raining, it's not even drizzling, but there's like a mist in the air. A mist ascended from the earth and it watered the whole face of the earth. Let's look at Rashi and then we're going to look at the next Rashi also. So Rashi says, the inyan b'riyaso she'adam, how did Hashem create this man? Remember, Perek Al Pasuk of Zayin, we don't understand what it was. We don't understand exactly what this was either. But Perek Al Pasuk of Zayin, we for sure don't understand what it was. What does it mean? Zachar Nekeva Bara Osam. There was one being. Imagine one person. And your back is connected. And the front of you is a man. And the back of you is a woman. We don't understand. So now we're talking about the refashioning of man, so to speak, in the way that we understand it much more, even though we don't understand anything about Maisa Bereishis, but in the way that we could relate to it more. So Hashem is getting ready to create man. So what does he do? Ve'ed ya'ala le'inyan b'riyaso she'adam. When it comes to the creation of man, ha'ela ha'tahom, Hashem brought up the deep. You could see Rashi, yes? You see Rashi on the side of the screen? Okay. Ve'hishka ananim. And Hashem watered clouds. Lishros ha'afar. Hashem made man. If you see in Pasuk Zion, you could see it right here. Afar min ha'adama. So think, lahavdel afevdos. I'm sorry, excuse me. If you want to build a sandcastle, and the sand is very dry, it's totally not wet. It has no moisture. It's completely dry sand. Try and build a sandcastle with the sugar from your pantry. Go to the pantry. Take out the sugar. And say, I'm going to make a sandcastle from sugar. What's going to happen? You're building a pie in the sky, a castle in the sky. Why? Because it's not going to stick together. So Hashem is going to make the physicality of man, your bones, your sinews, your flesh, from dust of the earth. That's what you see in the next pasuk. Offer minha adama. But the problem is, if it's so dry, it's not going to stick together. There won't be a formation. So Hashem needed to wet the earth in order to fashion the man. That's what you do. If you want to make a sandcastle, if you've ever seen little kids making a sandcastle on the beach, they bring water from the ocean. They'll bring water from the sea or the ocean. They dampen or moisten the earth, and then it's going to hold form. That's what Hashem did. That's how Hashem created man. So that's why Perek Beis Pasuk Vav tells you, so Perek Beis Pasuk Hei says, Adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. There is no man yet to work the earth. That's because man had not been refashioned into man-woman separate as we know them today. Now, Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, Hashem is getting ready to fashion man. So what is he doing? Ve'ed ya'ala min eretz. He brings mist from the earth. V'hishka is called pnei adama. and he waters the entire face of the earth. That's preparing the earth to make man. So therefore, look at Rashi, the Eidya, ala le'inyan b'riyaso sha'adam, when it comes to the creation of man, ha'ala ha'tohom, v'hishka ananim, l'shroz ha'afar, v'nivra adam. So Hashem needs the sandcastle to hold shape. He needs Adam's body, physicality, to hold shape. Of course, the neshama is a ruach Elokai mimao, but that's the second part of man. Ha'ala ha'tohom, he brings up the deep, v'hishka ananim, l'shroz ha'afar, v'nivra adam, the clouds watered, the dirt becomes moistened, and from this man is created. Kagabalze. What is a gabal? So art school translates it like a kneader of dough. K-N-E-A-D-E-R. A kneader of dough. A baker. A kneader of dough. Shenosing mayim. What do you have to do if you want to knead the dough? You have to put in water. If anyone here makes challah, and I'm sure many of you make challah, like I make challah, and I'm sure many of the Y-Utara listeners also correlate to this. So if you just have dry flour and salt, and sugar, and dry yeast, and you put it all in the bowl, and you're trying to shape a challah, what are you going to have? Nothing. You're going to have like individual sand particles. You'll have a lump of flour. It might be very messy, and your apron will get dirty, and there's going to be flour in your counter, but you're not going to be able to knead any dough. What do you need to do? You need to moisten the dough, so we put in oil, and we put in eggs. Mine is egg-free, Robertson, Kanievsky, Al Hashem's recipe, but let's say you put in eggs, and you put in water, warm water, and you put in oil or honey. Some people put in honey. So there, you're going to be able to knead the dough. Kagabalze, like a kneader of dough. Shano sein mayim, that he puts in water. Va'achar kach, and after losh asaisha, he's able to knead the dough. Afkan. So what did Hashem do here? V'hishka, he had to moisten the earth. Va'achar kach, and only after vayitzer. That's Perek Beis Pasuk Zay. So that's the sequence once again. Okay? Perek Beis Pasuk Hey. There was no herbage. There was no plants. God had not sent rain. Va'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adamah. There was not yet man to work the earth. Forget the guy who was created 127. We have no way of understanding what that person was. It doesn't make any sense to us. It's one body, two sides, zachar and a cave. That being did not last. Okay? So va'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adamah. There's time to work the earth. So therefore, Hashem's getting the earth ready to create this man. The Eid Ya'ala min ha'aretz, a mist ascended from the earth. V'hishkat kol panei adama. So now we understand, it's not dry sand, it's not dry flour. We're adding moisture, and now the physical part of man can exist. I saw something so cool over Shabbos. Where did I read it? Oh, I don't remember. You know, I'm fascinated by Lashon HaKodesh. So Yad, can't remember if it was a Mishpacha or somewhere else. If you read a Mishpacha, you could tell me. But I really don't remember. Otherwise, you know, I just actually messaged somebody last night. Her husband told over a Dvar Torah a number of months ago in Shul, and I wanted to requote in a Shir. So I messaged her last night saying, could you please ask your husband where that was from? I'll, of course, give credit to her husband for it, but I want to know where the original source was. So she texted back. She's going to ask him, and she said, you're always so machbit to quote your sources. So I really, really try to be. So if you know where I saw this, you can let me know. I saw something so cool about Lashon HaKodesh, because, you know, I'm fascinated by Lashon HaKodesh. So the word Yad means hand. Yad means hand. So it's made up of a Yod and then Dalet. So I saw something amazing. Never saw this before. The Dalet stands for the four fingers, and the Yod, your thumb, is like a little Yod. So it's amazing. So the letters Yod and Dalet, which make up the word Yad, which mean hand, the yod, your thumb is a little yod, and dalet are the four fingers. So it's not an accident. Hashem doesn't do anything but accident. Lashon HaKodesh is not an accident. Just a reminder, amazing Lashon HaKodesh is. Why did I bring that up? I don't know. So a mist ascended from the earth, and it watered the whole surface of the earth. Now we're ready to make the man. It's not dry flour. It's not dry sand. It's not dry sugar. I wet it. Hashem wet it. Or perhaps one of the most famous unkuses on the entire Chumash, if not the most off-quoted unkus, which I've quoted before many times in this class. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, perek beis pasuk zayin, Hashem Elokim fashioned the man, ofer min ha'adama. Now we understand how the ofer min ha'adama could become a man. Vayipach ba'ap of lishmas chayim, but we're not only mud and water. We also have a soul of God. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. This is, I think, arguably the most famous unkos on Chumash, Vayyadam and Nefesh Chaya. So unkos says, and I've quoted for you before many times, Vahavas Badam L'ruach Memalala. Man became a speaking spirit. So at the moment of man's creation, what distinguishes man from beast is that man became a speaking spirit. And if you look in Rashi, please, look at Rashi here. Right? The last Rashi to Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Last Rashi reflects Unklus' teaching. Af behema v'chai, nikru nefesh chaya. Rashi says, why is man so different? Behema and chaya are also called nefesh chaya. When the animals are created in Perek Aleph, they're also called nefesh chaya. So what distinguishes man? They're nefesh chaya. I'm nefesh chaya. So maybe I'm just a cow in the field. Maybe I'm just a horse in the barn. Maybe I'm just a lion in the Masai Mara desert. So Masai Mara river, waiting for, you know, the wildebeest to cross. What's difference from me from the animals? Af zosha adam chayisha bekula. No, you should know that the life form of man is the most living being of all. Sheni tosef bodeya vidibur. What distinguishes man from beast, because they're also nefesh chaya, otherwise the animal wouldn't be alive. If the dog did not have some sort of soul, it wouldn't be alive. If the cat did not have a cat soul, it wouldn't be alive. They also have a nefesh. I have a nefesh, they have a nefesh. So what's the difference between me and them? Shani tosef bodeya vidibur. And this is exactly what the famous Unkos says, that what was added to man that makes him a human being, deya, Chachma bina da'as, he has wisdom, intuition, knowledge, a mind, he can think, he has bechira chavshis, v'dibur, speech. The moment man was created, he became a speaking spirit. And I'm going to show you this most famous Unkos, even though I quote it for you already. So Unkos famously says, Ubara Hashem Elokim Yas Adam Afra Min Admasa. Should be able to understand this. Hashem Elokim created the man, dust from the earth. Unepach ba'apohi nishmasa dechaya, and he blew into his nostrils the soul of life. Vahavas ba'adam l'ruach memalala. This is, I really think, the most famous Unkos on Chumash. And man became a speaking spirit. Well, you see that the moment of man's creation, man became a speaking spirit. The definition of man is that he has deya v'dibur. Otherwise, we would just be animals. If we didn't have deya and we didn't have dibur, we would just be like animals. We would be no different than animals. Okay. So now we saw the sequence. Perek Beis Pasuk Hey, there's no man to work the earth. Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, Hashem is getting the earth ready to make the man. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayi, now that the earth is ready, Hashem can fashion the physicality of man, blow into his nostrils the soul of life. Man becomes a nefesh chaya. But Chazal need to tell us, what's the difference between my nefesh chaya and the nefesh chaya of the dog and the cat and the mouse and the horse? The difference is that I have day of a dibur, nitosef bo day of a dibur, and those do not have day of a dibur. So clearly, from the moment of our inception, we have been created to be speaking spirits. Okay, fine. Put that all aside for a minute. I told you this before. And in fact, my niece had her bas mitzvah last month, Baruch Hashem. My eldest niece was her bas mitzvah, and I was asked to help her with her bas mitzvah speech, to write her bas mitzvah speech for her, review with her, go through the thank yous with her, etc. So I worked with my niece on the bas mitzvah speech. So and she had been learning Shmir Salashon as a schus for something, so they wanted her to speak about Shmir Salashon. So I told this to our Torah over in, I wrote this to our Torah, and went through it with her in her bas mitzvah speech, and I'm 99.9% sure I shared it with you in the past. There's a reason I'm sharing with you again. But like we began, you can never say I learned something already, because listen to this. Okay. Rabbi Zev Lef says, Shlita, why is the tongue called the Lashon? Miha isha chafetz chaim lama dalet of Tehillim. Miha isha chafetz chaim ohev amim liros tov nitzor lishoncha meira usvasecha medaber mirma. Right? If you want to know what it means to desire life, to love days, and to see the good, you should guard your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit. Sur meira vaseita bekeshan v'roveyu. So Rabbi Zev Lef says the tongue is called Lashon. Why? Because it's from the two-letter root, lash, lamid shin. Just like Rabbi Zev Lef says, when you knead the dough, you need all these components together to make the dough. So too, a person needs together all different components, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your palate, your teeth, your tongue, your lips, your larynx, your airflow, your tongue is what needs together all these components to produce speech, and therefore the Lashon is called Lashon after Lash. Okay. So here I am, let's go back to the screen share, learning Parsha with Rashi this week. And I realized something I never noticed before. For all my years that I'm learning Chumash with Rashi, I'm telling you something very important, besides for the insight that I'm sharing with you. A person could never say, why are we learning this again? Literally never, because you never know when you learn something 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, and there's going to be a new insight that you never saw before, you never realized before, you never connected before. Okay, that's lesson number one of this year. Okay, oh, I have to go. Oh, let's go back to Rashi. So I'm learning Chumash with Rashi, and I couldn't believe it. Maybe some of you already made the connection of where I'm going because I pointed it out. There's no man. Adam ayin avod et adama. Man is not yet created. Fine. Hashem wants to create man. So he has to prepare the earth. When that man is created, in the very next pasuk, the first thing we know about man is that he's distinguished from animals because he is dibur. Rashi. He's distinguished from animals because v'havasu ba'adam l'ruach memala. The first thing the Torah wants you to know about this new creation, which is called Adam, is that we have the power of speech. We have koach hadibur. It's the daya that fuels our dibur. Rashi says, nitosef v'odei v'dibur. You need to use your das. Hopefully we use our das before we use our dibur. The problem sometimes becomes when we don't use our das before our dibur. A person should be using their das before their dibur. Nitosef v'odei v'dibur. Rashi does not say, nitosef v'odibur v'deya. That would be the wrong order. Nitosef v'odei, Hashem gave you das so that you could use your dibur properly. So man is defined as being a speaking spirit. Go into the barn. Go to the zoo. I haven't fed him into the zoo. Probably destination trip. Go and see if the animals are speaking. I know they bark. I know they moo. I know they crow. I know they howl. But they don't have speech the way that we have speech. Man is distinguished because he is daya to use his dibur properly. V'havas v'adam l'ruach memalala. In Aramaic. Became a speaking spirit. This is gewaldik. I'm telling you something unbelievable. What did Hashem do to prepare for this man? He had to prepare the earth. Ve'ed yala min ha'aretz. A mist ascended from the earth. Ve'hishka is called p'nei ha'adama. It watered the whole surface of the earth. What does Rashi say? Rashi brings you a dugma to help you understand how Hashem prepared the earth for man. What's the dugma that Rashi brings? A baker who's kneading dough. Could I make this up? Is this normal? The Eid Ya'ala. By the way, don't worry. I emailed Rabbi Zechlef on Motzei Shabbos. The Eid Ya'ala. Le'inyin Briyaso Sha'adam. Now let's look at this with totally new eyes. Never, ever, ever. Someone says it's right to the Shabbos table. Don't say I know it already. You got a shear? Can think I know this already? You don't. You don't. It doesn't matter how many times you heard it. You can't compare what you learn 100 times, says the Gemara, to what you learn 101 times. And my son told me something, my son Shmuel told me something from one of his Rebbeim, Yeshiva Darchei Torah, related to that Gemara. Amalek is Amel Kuf. The enemy of Hashem, Kaviyacha, and the enemy of Knesset is Amalek. Amal means to toil. Tu amelim b'torim b'chukos ha'teilechu, perchav of Vayikrim, b'chukos ha'teilechu, tu amelim b'torah. You have to toil, you have to work to acquire Torah. But Amalek says Amel Kuf. 100 times is enough. Amel Kuf. Amel is the Torah. Kuf is gematria of 100. Amalek says Amel Kuf is enough. Don't worry about the 101 time. Why? Because they realize that the 101 time you might come to a Gevaldic connection. You might strengthen your relationship to Kosh Baruch Hu. You might realize something in divinity you never realized before. Amel Kuf, it's enough. Look at this Rashi. Is this normal? Man's going to be created in Perek Beis Pasuk Zayim. Perek Beis Pasuk Hey tells me there's no man to work the earth. Perek Beis Pasuk Vav Hashem gets the earth ready to make man. You can't make a sandcastle of dry sand. You can't make a mound of dry sugar. That's why you have to take jello. It's the powder plus water. And now you could have a mold. And you can't make, what was the third example I gave you? And you can't make dough from dry flour and dry ingredients. You need something wet to knead. Fine. And then Hashem's going to create man. When Hashem creates man from the wet in components of the dry earth, the first thing you know is that man is a speaking spirit. So how did Hashem create this speaking spirit? With Lash. I mean, look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. The first thing you know about man is, okay, he's offer min adama, he's gashmis, he's nishmas chaim, he's ruchnis, and now it's the first thing the Torah could tell you about man. He could walk, he could dress himself up nicely, he could eat. What's the first thing the Torah wants you to know about man? He speaks. Let's look at Rashi again. The inyan briyaso shel adam, when it comes to the creation of man, ha'ela ha'tahom, he brought up the deep, v'hishka ananim, v'shros ha'afar, v'nivra adam. Hashem brought up the mist, the waters, the moisture from the deep. The clouds have this moisture. They moisten the soil. Man was created. Kagabalza. So I don't know what the word gabal means. So I told you, art school, Mamas translates it as a kneader of dough. Okay? If you look in your art school chumash, you will see that gabal means K-N-E-A-D-E-R, a kneader of dough. Shenosein mayim, he puts in water. Va'acharkach, losh. And then he kneads. Esa isa, the dough. Afkan, Mamas Rosh says, you want to know how to understand that Hashem created man? You want to know how to understand that man's a speaking spirit? I'm going to bring you a dugma. Rashi could have brought you any dugma. Rashi Davka brings you a dugma of a kneader of dough. Lush. Afkan v'hishka v'achar kach v'yitzor. So too, here Hashem had to moisten the soil, and then he fashioned man. And when he fashions man, like a kneader of dough, who kneads the dough, what you're told is, v'yitzor Hashem makim as Adam, afar min Adam, v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, v'yadam v'nefesh chaya. So man became a speaking spirit. V'havas ba'adam l'ruach m'malala, nitosek bo day of a dibur, use your day to control your dibur, and not vice versa. And perhaps Rashi tells it to you in that order. Specifically, Hashem had to need to create man. Hashem needed the earth, so to speak, to create man. So how do we put this together? So I was mamish obviously blown away. And yes, I did email Rabbi Zavlaf after Shabbos. I was mamish blown away. So how do we understand this? And that's the pshat. Can't be an accident. That's first of all. That's something that I say all the time. Everything Hashem does is to teach us. You say every morning in Birkas HaTorah, in Birkas HaShachar, Hashem's the Malame Torah L'Ama Yisrael. Okay? Hashem is our teacher. Valach the Bedrachav is a mitzvah to go in his ways, from Sefer Dvarim. And the Gemara tells us in two different places, in Sota Yudalad Aleph, Ma'ahu Ma'al Bisharumim Af'ata, Ma'ahu Bikrachom Af'ata, Ma'ahu Nicham Avelim Af'ata, Ma'ahu Levi Asameis Af'ata. Okay? He appears to Yitzchak after the death of his father. And finally, Kivur Mason by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Gemara there and Soti Yadal Av gives you four examples of what it means by Alach the Bedrachav. You have to go in the ways of Hashem. Shabbos, Kuflam Gema Amad Beis also gives you examples. Mahu Chan Vrachim, Av Atar Chan Vrachim. We have an imperative to emulate God. So what do we see here? Hashem is teaching us, how did he create man? How did he create the world of humanity? He needed. I'm not saying that. Rashi says it beferish, kagabalze. What is it again? Kagabalze. Shenosein mayim v'acharkach losh es ha'isa. Afkan v'hishka v'acharkach v'yitzer. Okay. So Hashem, who is a Malami Torah Al Mishal, needed. What did Hashem do immediately before he fashioned man? The final thing God did before he fashioned man, he needed. He saturated the soil. He needed the soil to make man. He was a losh. He was a gabal. He's kneading the dough. Man comes along, and the first thing you know about man is he has power of dibur. V'havas badr meruach mamala. The first thing you know is v'tosev bo day of the dibur. Use your day to control your dibur. Actually, yeah, use your day to control your dibur, not vice versa. Hashem wants us to emulate him. So Hashem says, I give you the power of speech. It distinguishes you from beasts. There are also nefesh chaya. What makes you better than the nefesh chaya of animals? What makes you better than the nefesh chaya of animals is dibur, the ruach memalala, speaking spirit. I want you to emulate me. What did I do immediately before I created you? I needed. I want you to take that power of Vahavas Badim Luach Mamala. I want you to take the koch of Day of a Dibur. I want you to take your speaking spirit of Nefesh Chaya and need your words to create life. Hashem needed to create life. We have an imperative, Valachta Bedrachav, Mahu Afata, Valachta Bedrachav. I told you the two sources. Maybe there's more in the Gemara. I don't know. Those are the two that I know. So Hashem says, look what I did right before creation. I needed to create man. You will need, with your koach of creation, which is through your dibur, ruach memalala, your lashon, to create. And it ties in exactly to what the Chavetz Chaim tells us. I have all these stickies on the front of my sefer, but it ties in exactly what the Chavetz Chaim tells us in his Hakdama. In his Hakdama, on page 26 of our sefer, the Chavetz Chaim tells us in the Hakdama, I can't even see my page numbers. There's so many notes in here. Where are the page numbers? There we go. Chavetz Chaim tells us, Klal hadvarim bidiburav shel adam. Listen, yachol livroa olamot. It's a quote. Livroa, to be a borei olam, ulahachariven. Klal hadvarim, the summation of the matter is, bidiburav shel adam, with speech, yachol livroa olamot, you can create worlds, ulahachariven, and you can destroy it. Hashem is a borei olam, livroa olamot. You can never be a borei olam. We are always a fashioner. We can never be a borei olam. Hashem is a borei olam. There's one tool that you have to create worlds. One tool that allows you to create. When you make a soup, you're not creating a soup. You're taking raw ingredients and you're utilizing them, refashioning them to create a soup. I shouldn't say create a soup. Make a soup. Fashion a soup. Whatever we form or fashion is only using the raw materials that God gave us. There's only one instance or one tool we have that we can use to create. And that's when it comes to our lashon. Like a kneader, we can knead our emotions, our thoughts, our de'a, our larynx, our pharynx, our palate, our airflow, our teeth, our tongue, our lips, to create words. Those words did not exist before I'm speaking. Now, they didn't exist. They may have existed in my de'a, but they didn't exist in my dibur. I could be thinking about them, but they're not here till I say them. Klal hadvarim, page 26 of the sefer, bidiburav shel adam, yachol livro olamot ulahachariven. With words, you can be like the borei olam. That is the ultimate v'halachta v'drachav. The ultimate mahu af ata. Ulahachariven, you can also destroy. What did Hashem do to create man? He was a kneader of dough. He did the action, the malacha of lush. Immediately after doing lush, Hashem created man. What is the chiddush of man over animals? They also have the excretory system, reproductive system, cardiovascular system. They also see. They also have touch. They also have a smell. So why am I different than the monkey in the tree? What's the difference? I have Deya and Dibur. So Hashem says, I created you. Your Dibur, Ruach Mamalala, was created through Lash. You will emulate me. You will do the Malacha of Lash with your Lashon, and you will choose if you want to create worlds. It's Gevaldik. So of course I never realized this before, so I'm going to tell you, I emailed Rabbi Zalef. I didn't give him an entire shir, but I did email Rabbi Zalef, and I pointed this out. And I did say, after I wrote, of course I realized the Rav knows the Rashi, and I'm not giving over a chiddush. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, Magid Shir, Rav. But I never heard this quote before in connection with the Pshat of Lashon and Lash, and I was very excited to realize this Baruch Hashem. That's literally what I wrote. Because when I've heard Rabbi Zalev speak about this, I did not hear him reference his Rashi. And learning through the parasha of the Shabbos, it just jumped out at me. My gosh, it's right here. So he wrote back, I signed off with much continued gratitude for all the beautiful Divrei Torah, which I continue to reteach B'Shem Amra. So he wrote back, thank you for enlightening me to see this Rashi in a new light. Which I think might be Askalma, because I once emailed something before that related to one of his shirim, and he said, thank you for reminding me of this pshat, which means, of course, it's very obvious that he knew it already, just didn't mention it in the shir. He actually wrote, Thank you for enlightening me to see this Rashi in a new light. Continue to spread your Torah far and wide. Zilef. Thank you for enlightening me to see this Rashi in a new light. So I think that, I don't know. I mean, I never noticed it before, but like, it cannot possibly be an accident that the moment before man was created to be a speaking spirit, which is what distinguishes us from the life forms, Hashem, who's the Malame Torah, the Ami Yisrael, did the action, the Malacha of Lash, to form man, Kagab Balzat. Then he created us with a tongue, and now God says, go out into the world and conquer. How can we be creators of worlds? One thing, nothing else I do in the world makes me a creator, except for my speech. God created through the power of Lash. He invested us with a Lashon. We must create through the power of tongue as well. It's mamish mind-blowing. Okay, one sec. I want to share with you something from my desk. Wait. Oh, one second. Okay, I thought it was downstairs. I think it's upstairs. I'm coming right back. I never do this, but just give me 1 minute. Don't leave. Shear's not over. Okay, it was actually upstairs. Okay, a little exercise in the middle of the year. Fine. I don't know if anyone saw this, but I'm going to share with you. It was in the very big mishpacha for Sukkos. Or I should say Sukkos mishpacha. If you read Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman's show with a view, then you saw it already. But I'm going to read it to you. And I think it's a perfect conclusion for our shiur. And I really thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. And the Galus of Torah is impossible to overstate. Just impossible to overstate. I think the Rabbi Zavlev Yima was a Haskama. So I don't think what I am offering to you today is incorrect. I think it's just incredible to see from the moment of our creation, Hashem invested us with this Koach of Lashon and Lash, and we emulate God. Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman writes, Chaim called, emailed, and left a note on my door requesting to see me before Yom Kippur. What's going on, Chaim, I asked when he came to see me in my office. Rabbi, I know we're expected to forgive everyone before Yom Kippur. However, I must confess, no matter how hard I try, there's one person in the world I cannot yet forgive. Do you want to tell me about it? Chaim whispered. It has to do with something that, if I remember correctly, you, Rabbi, taught us in Shir. I'm not obligated to forgive for such an offense. Didn't you once say, if someone embarrasses you in public, Rabbi, you don't have to forgive them because they could never really do teshuvah? Chaim, you have a good memory. I assume someone embarrassed you in public, correct? Chaim nodded. His face reddened. I imagine you can't find it in your heart to forgive that person. Once again, Chaim silently nodded. I sat back in my seat. It was Erev Yom Kippur. There were drashos to be written, questions to be answered. I'd been sitting with Chaim ready for 30 minutes, and he couldn't tell me who had hurt him so deeply. I started to get somewhat annoyed. How badly could Chaim have been embarrassed? I pondered. Chaim must be making a mountain out of a molehill. Then he spoke up. Rabbi, didn't you mention the shame a person feels is compounded by the importance of the person doing the shaming? The more important the person, the more you'll be shamed if that's who shamed you. Yes, Chaim, you're correct. Chaim again fell silent. I was sure now Chaim was exaggerating some minor slight. Probably no one else had even picked up on it. Chaim, can I help you get over this? Chaim nodded. Yes, you can help me. I leaned in towards Chaim, waiting. Rabbi, the important person I am having trouble forgetting. Rabbi, the important person I am having trouble forgiving is sitting across from me right now. His words exploded with the intensity of an atomic bomb. I had humiliated Chaim? I embarrassed Chaim publicly? What was he talking about? Chaim, how did I embarrass you? Do you remember when we were learning the halachos of what constitutes a su'uda for one to fulfill their obligation of kiddush b'makam su'uda? I nodded. Rabbi, you said to fulfill kiddush b'makam su'uda, you can eat a piece of cake, a cracker, or even lakshin kugel. I, Chaim, said, Rabbi, what's lakshin kugel? You smiled, and you said, you don't know what lakshin kugel is? I was humiliated, Rabbi. Everyone in the room now knew I was a fool, an ignoramus, an ama aretz, or however you pronounce it, who doesn't even know what lakshin kugel is. Rabbi, it is you who I cannot find in my heart to forgive. If the rabbi of the shul mocks you for not knowing what lakshin kugel is, then the entire shul knows you are nothing. I stared at Chaim as my entire world came crashing down. All of a sudden, I had no drashos to write and no questions to answer. There was one and one thing only that mattered, and that was that I had publicly shamed another yid. I looked at Chaim and he looked at me. Tears began to run down both our cheeks. I stood up, I walked over to his seat, I pulled him to his feet and I hugged him. And then I did the only other thing I could do. Chaim, tonight we will walk into shul together and you will hold the Sefer Torah with me at Kol Nidre. Chaim nodded. That night, Chaim and I held the Torah together. On Erev Sukkos, less than an hour before candlelighting, I noticed there was a bag on my door. When I opened the bag, I saw an aluminum pen. It was still warm. There was a note taped to the lid of the aluminum pen. Rabbi, please accept this gift from me for Sukkos. I made the lakshin kugel myself. Your friend Chaim. Until Mashiach comes, concludes Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman, there will never be a more heavenly tasting lakshin kugel than the one I ate that Sukkos night. One of the things that we daven for the Tefillah Dibur, and I think that our learning in this shiur has expanded, I hope, by fervent prayer, that all of us perhaps started to learn this with a much more narrow definition of what Lashon Hara Shmir Salashon was. And I hope, and I'm Amish Davin, that through our learning, we have expanded our view to understand how we must use our Deya to control our Dibur if we want to be distinguished from animals. We don't only Davin from not speaking Lashon Hara, but also Sheker, Chanufa, Mechokas, Kas, Gaiva, Onas, Dvarim, Halbanas, Panim, Leitzanus, Bechol Dibur Aser. There is no way for man to be a creator. We can only be a fashioner. No matter what you make, you are fashioning, not creating. Except for one inyan. The only way you could be a creator is by emulating God, who was a kneader, kagabalze. When you engage in the malacha of a losh, it's mamish, breathtakingly, incredibly, so magnificently beautiful. The Torah is just, everything's in there. We just have to daven to Hashem to open our eyes to allow us to see it. I mean, it's all there. What distinguishes us from beasts is v'havas ba'adam l'ruach memalala nitosef bo'dei of a dibur. And when we use that day to control our dibur, and we use our koach of speech and our lashon, we're really emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. He created us by kneading lash, hishka, va'acharkach, va'yitzer, And when we use our Lashon in a positive fashion, we are mamish being godly, v'halachta b'drachav, and we too can create worlds, or chalila v'chas. We can destroy worlds. Klal ha'dvarim b'diburav sh'adam yechol livroa olamo v'lachariven. I hope everyone's happy to be back. I hope we have a lot of, no pun intended with the Lakshan Kula, food for thought for the 2 weeks ahead. I plan, believe Nader. I even prepared. I prepared in the Sefer today. So I hope, barring unforeseen circumstances, to be going back to the Sefer next time, which I already planned ahead. What could I say? Wait. This year is dedicated as a zuchus for Rafua Shalema for both Eliyahu ben Margolit and Chaya Rachel bas Nechama Gitto. May both be zuchah to Rafuos, Besuros Tovos, Yeshuas Bakarv. Thank you. May I make a leif. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Kol Tov. Thank you all so much.